Yeah. What's going on? Welcome to the Friday edition of the Jungle. My name is Jim Rome.
Yeah.
We're coming to you live. Yeah. 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 What's up? Yeah.
Yeah.
What's up, Rex?
Yeah.
What's up, world? We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. All right, let's get it. Make sure you finish strong. It's one of the cheesiest sayings ever. TGIF, the grind includes Friday, but it's true. Come and get it, man. Get after it. Do not go weekly into the weekend. Earn it. Make sure you leave it out there. Let's go. 1-800-636-8686. A lot to get done this Friday. Let me start you off with that telephone number. You can get through right now. In fact, I'm looking for somebody to get in, get on, and set the tone. I've got a lot to get to myself, but a good phone call could set that thing up. 1-800-636-8686. You can also hit me up on Twitter anytime you want, at Jim Rome. Follow me on Instagram, at Jim Rome. The interviews are as follows. Normally on a Friday, instead of going with our three talking heads, I go with two. Because I've got another gigantic head that gets real estate. The big head, James Kelly. So if you're wondering how it sets up, get out a pencil, write this down. I've got Nate Oates, the basketball coach at Alabama, coming up at 9:40. The big head, I'm sliding into the second hour at the very top. Why wait, right? It's a big weekend in the NFL. He got his ass kicked last night when he took the Saints. I want to get him back in here, get that bad taste out of our mouths, and give him a chance to redeem himself. James Kelly, top of hour number two. We've got five games that we're going to break down. In hour number three, a conversation with a linebacker for the Baltimore Ravens, Josh Bynes. We've got Alvy's iconic week that was. I've got the ATP, and I've got a lot more. I want to remind you, I've got episode number 200. 200. Eponymous. Episode 200 of the Jim Rome Podcast with Dana White, and that's live. Do me a favor. Don't check it out now, but look for it over the weekend, and I may even reset part of that in the program today because it is that good. Lots to get to. Why don't we start with what went down last night? So the Cowboys and Saints were playing. And every so often, you got to pay some respect on Jerry Jones or put some respect on Jerry Jones. Like, I've got to give it to this old dude. I really do. I mean, sure, he has said and done some of the wackest stuff ever. I mean, who will ever forget the time he tried to circumcise a mosquito?
Circumcising the mosquito.
Or that other time when he was in a dark, dark place. A dark, dark place, and he was lower than a crippled cricket's ass. Handicapped insects. That's pretty low. Or how about that one time he described Ezekiel Elliott as rolling through the locker room with some sort of towel on himself or shorts and kind of spanking himself as he emulated riding a horse?
Spanking himself as he emulates riding the horse.
And that when Jarris saw that, it made him appreciate how much of an asset that Zeke is both on and off the field. The guy actually said that about Ezekiel Elliott. That Elliott's spanking himself in the locker room while emulating riding a horse made him a prized asset to the organization.
Spanking himself as he emulates riding the horse.
And by the way, sidebar, judging from how Zeke looks right now, he's neither spanking himself nor emulating riding a horse nearly enough. But that's neither here nor there, because I'm not here to rehash how whack Jarrah is. No, I want to start this program by putting respect on Jarrah. I want to start this program by giving Jarrah respect. That's what I'm here to do. Yes, I am. And yeah, I said it. And here's why. The Cowboys go into last night's game in a bad way. They're all banged up. They're playing like crap. And then a chunk of their coaching staff, including the big fella, Big Mike, gets sidelined with COVID. So, was the old dude sweating it going into the game? Hell no.
Hell no.
He's Jerry freaking Jones. And he was going to be in New Orleans. And if you know anything about Jerry Jones and anything about New Orleans, you had to know those two monsters were on a collision course of nicety. There was no way my man was not going to get nice on Bourbon Street. I mean, have you ever been on Bourbon Street? Have you ever seen Jera out and about crawling around on any street? Hell yes, he was going to get nice. And nice might not even be giving Gramps enough credit, because listen to what he had to say to a local radio station about that crawl down Bourbon Street.
Anytime you see me, there's only 80% of me that you see. Over the last 50 years, 20% of me has been left on Bourbon Street in New Orleans. It's some kind of place. And boy, are there Cowboy fans here.
Well, thanks to 105.3 The Fan, I even think that even I, back in the day, saw that guy on Bourbon Street. Now, that's an NFL owner right there. No, correction. That's a 79-year-old man saying that he left 20% of himself on Bourbon Street. Whatever the hell that means. In fact, what does that mean? Does that mean he puked up 20% of himself? Because as much as I like Bourbon Street, I've been there. And it sometimes looks and feels like everybody who has ever hit that street left 20% of themselves on that street. Like, I'll never forget what it looked like and smelled like the first time I went to Mardi Gras. You don't forget that smell, nor do you forget what your shoes and pants look like when you get back to your hotel room. Is that what he's talking about? That he puked up and left 20% of himself out there on the street? Or is he talking about how he had even more work done and left 20% of what was left of his original face out there in the street? Like, I don't know. I long ago stopped trying to interpret or decode Jera speak. I'm just going to assume that what he meant was he got lost in the sauce, per usual. Then again, if I had Ben McAdoo working for me in a game that I had to have, I'd be at the bottom of a bottle and in some gutter, too. Yeah. And sure enough, before the game, Clarence Hill Jr. of the Star-Telegram tweeted, quote, "Just saw Cowboys owner Jerry Jones on Bourbon. He jokingly said he was coaching tonight and wanted to know what he should call on the first play. I said, send Amari Cooper on a go route to test his conditioning. He offered me a drink. I turned it down. I have to work." End of quote. Pretty amazing. That's our dude. A team owner hitting up Bourbon Street, just chopping it and slopping it up, joking about being the head coach that night and offering drinks to writers. And if that weren't enough, Ric Flair tweeted out a pic with Jerry, and the caption read, quote, "The man meets the man. Woo!
To be the man, you gotta beat the man."
I'm telling you.
Woo! Woo!
I could not respect this any more than I do. Here's an owner. His team is in a must-win situation on the road against an equally desperate team. He's missing his head coach and five other assistants, and this dude is out here getting blasted and kicking it with Ric Flair and not even trying to hide it. You know how I've always said the most important thing, really? No, not only the most important thing, but really the only thing is scoreboard. It's the only thing that matters. Scoreboard. Look up at it. I might have to actually rethink this thing, because I don't think it applies to this rich old kook. Because even if they're getting their asses kicked, he obviously is still winning. He's living his best drunk life, even when they do get rolled. He's like 80-20, man. 80-20. 80-20, baby. 80-20. I'm going out, and I'm going to leave 20% of me wherever the hell I am. Or I'm going to go out and come back with 20% of my face missing. Or both. The 80-20 rule. Man, I love it.
I love it.
You know, people always have that like 90-10 rule, that 95-5 rule, that 80-20 rule. The thing is, I don't even think this guy cares if he wins or loses, because he wins. But the fact of the matter is, they did not get their asses kicked. They went into New Orleans and they did what they had to do, and they got the dub. And after watching Dallas last season, here's something I thought that I would never say. Not only did they get that dub, it was their defense that got it done. Their defense, which was such ass last year, bailed out the offense last night, an old monkey butt McCarthy,
monkey butt.
Who wasn't
monkey
there.
Butt.
Hell, not only that, not only did they do what they had to do, not only did they get that dub, they covered. And they got me paid so I could talk some junk to the big head. They made whoever laid the points very happy. That's how weird last night was. Jerry tearing up Bourbon Street, leaving 20% of himself out there, and the Cowboys' defense winning that game for them. Weird. You know what else was weird? Having the camera on Dan Quinn all night long. And not just having the camera on Quinn all night long, but Dan Quinn on the sidelines rocking the backwards hat and looking like he adopted Mike McCarthy's diet all night long. How weird was that? I mean, credit for pushing all the right buttons and getting that atrocious D right. But damn, dude, stop using McCarthy's nutritionist. And as for the Saints, we got to make this part of it, right? I hate to say it for the Saints, but their season is over. And I hate to say this, but so is this notion that Taysom Hill is a starting NFL quarterback. Now, this is a different dude. It is. He's athletic. He's tough. He makes plays. He's explosive. He's dynamic. He's all those things. He's just not a starting NFL quarterback. Now we know why Sean Payton has always used him as a change of pace guy. Now we know why he couldn't beat out Jameis Winston. Now we know why he couldn't even beat out Trevor Siemian. Because if you ask Taysom Hill to sling it, then bad things are going to happen. If you ask him to run it, he'll move the chains, but because of the pounding he inevitably is going to take, it's just not sustainable. It's a unique dude. He is.
Inevitable.
He's just not a legitimate or viable QB1. Not when every single time they get back into a game, he inevitably splits some defender's numbers. No less an authority on ball security than Daniel Dimes himself cannot believe how often Taysom Hill gives it to the other guy. So, to recap our opening take on a Friday, I won my bet. Big Head lost his. Jarrah lost 20% of his innards or his face or both on Bourbon Street. Taysom Hill proved what has long been suspected, that even though he's tough as hell and athletic, he's not an NFL starting quarterback, even if the Saints keep paying him like he is. Oh, and Clarence, my man, you're a great journo, but with all due respect, how do you turn down a drink from Jarrah? How do you do that? I know I'm not. Not that he's offering me one, but if he did, no way I'm turning that down. If you were to hit me up with, hey, Van Smack, what should I do? What should I do? I want to coach tonight. What should I do? I'd be like, ah, I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you what. First play, how about you run a double reverse wildcat flea flicker with Amari Cooper throwing it deep to Dak? No, Jarrah, how about this? How about letting Micah Parsons, freak, by the way. How about you let Micah Parsons and Trayvon Diggs play both ways and just RPO the hell out of that Saints D?
20% of me has been left on Bourbon Street.
What does that mean? 20% of me has been left on Bourbon Street.
20% of me has been left on Bourbon Street.
20% of you or 20% of your face or both? They did what they had to do, though. They got the dub. They got the hell out of there. Do you like, if you leave 20% of you on Bourbon Street, you ever go out and come back and realize I left something out there? I forgot something? Like, oh, damn, where's my phone? Oh, damn, where are my sunglasses? Oh, damn, where are my car keys? Oh, damn, where's my face? Where's that part of my face? What does that mean, I left 20% of me on Bourbon Street? I don't know. 1-800-636-8686. My man's going to get some. No matter what, he's going to get it in. And he did, and they got a dub, so that's a big, big night for him. Like I said, I'm not here to talk about how whack the old guy is. I'm here to put respect on him. And I did. Speaking of respect, You need to respect how hard it is to pick games. I've been trying to make this point, and I will get into it again a little bit later on. But the big head, we've got five games. In fact, let me just give you a heads up. At the top of hour number two, when James Kelly and I come together, here are the games that we're going to talk about. Colts at Texans. Eagles at Jets. WFT at LV. Jags here in SoCal to play the Rams. And the Bucks at the Falcons. That's coming up at the top of hour number two. Also, you want to know something weird, something whack. How about Brian Kelly? Has my man had a week or what? One thing to leave South Bend the way he did, and did not leave on good terms. I mean, guys never do. We talked about this already this week. Lincoln Riley got some of this. Brian Kelly got some of this. If you're going to leave a school and a staff and players and a fan base, and you're going to do it at this time of year, hell, if you're going to do it before your year is even over, it's not going to go well. We know this. And it did not go well for Brian Kelly at all. But I don't think Brian Kelly really cares about that. He's on to the next thing. His greater concern was making a good first impression. Why else would he have shown up in Baton Rouge with that horrible, fake-ass Southern accent? That is just one of the weirdest things ever. Can't wait to get into that and try and figure out exactly what he was thinking or what he was doing. Dude, everybody knows you're from Boston. Everybody knows you've spent most of your working life in the Midwest. Why are you doing that? Why do you sound like that? I mean, my man wasn't one step off that airplane before he had a stronger accent than Coach O himself. Where were you going with that? I've got the sound to prove it. In the NBA last night, there is tanking, and then there is losing a game by 73. That really happened. Grizz v. Thunder. One more NFL note. You want to talk about a bet? You know, I talk about WinBet a lot and how you can get any prop wager you want. I should have done this. The one prop that I should have come up with before the year was if there was going to be one NFL player who got caught with a fake vax card, who would that be? I mean, Antonio Brown all day long. And Mr. what Big do you know? Chest. Mr. Big Chest with the fake vax card. And the NFL didn't exactly break him off either, did it? 1-800-636-8686. There she is. And it was a matter of time before Kathleen in Omaha showed up. She did. I've got Alabama head basketball coach Nate Oates coming up at 40 past. That'll get me right to the top of the hour where we get it to James Kelly for Big Head Bets. Josh Bynes is a linebacker for the Ravens. We'll have that in hour number three and a whole lot more. So let me ask you a quick question. Why is Old Trapper beef jerky so amazing? Well, there is something to be said for a family business, which stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. Do not be fooled by other brands. All beef jerky is not one and the same. Make sure you choose Old Trapper where you can actually see the quality right through their iconic Clearview packages. Every single bite of Old Trapper is tender. It's never tough because they use only the best ingredients from their lean strips of beef seasoned with top quality spices to their real wood-fired smoke. Old Trapper delivers only quality in every single bite. And Old Trapper comes in four amazing flavors as well. So what you want to do is go with the 4-ounce bag. That way you can sample all of them. Or if you know what you want, load it up. Take the big swing, get the 18-ounce bag. That way you've got enough for the entire fam or the entire team. If you don't see it, just be sure to ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
All right, then. Already one programming note and change. I've got Nate Oates moving from next segment to 10:20 Pacific time, 1:20 Eastern time. So what that means to you is we are open phones in the first hour. Meaning, get on the phones right now. James Kelly, top of hour number two. Then we chase that immediately with Nate Oates. Then we're open until 20 past hour number 3 with Josh Bynes. I've got lots to get done. And good to see you clones up in here. A lot of reaction already on social, which I'll get to momentarily. I want to remind you, if you're looking for something to do this weekend, big fight. Big fight coming up on Sunday. 8 p.m. live, pay-per-view. It is Gervonta Tank Davis going up against Isaac Pitbull Cruz. That fights Baltimore, Maryland. 27-year-old Davis making his third straight PPV headlining appearance. He's got a record of 25-0, of course. 24 by way of knockout. The Pitbull, known for his aggressive straight-ahead style. 23-year-old from Mexico City, Mexico. He comes from a family of fighters. He's 22-1-1, 15 knockouts. Cruz added two more victories in 21, including a win over former champ Francisco Vargas in June. Make sure you check it out Sunday, 8 p.m. You've got the undefeated five-time world champ and boxing's hottest attraction right now, Gervonta Tank Davis, defending the belt against Pitbull Cruz. It's a can't-miss PPV. Once again, Davis, a generational talent who's only getting better, taking on the hard-nosed Cruz. An explosive showdown Sunday, December 5th, 8 p.m., Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. It is a pay-per-view event. All right, so very quickly, let me check out your early reactions. Some of this is graphic in nature. You've been warned. It's kind of a warning to myself and a warning to you. Some of this reaction is graphic in nature. Dear Jim, I too left 20% of myself on the street, a.k.a. most of my face. Signed, Bobby Petrino, Alex in Windsor. Very predictable. You get credit. You're in with that. Dear Jim, I left 20% of myself in that massage parlor. Signed, Robert Kraft. All right, that's not okay.
20% of me has been left on Bourbon Street.
I said some of this might be graphic in nature. That's not only graphic in nature, but that's not all right. Chalk, that's not cool. Jamie, you know how I know that's not cool? The big head thinks it's funny. Hey, head, you know what's funny? You missing like 10 picks in a row. Trevor Price can't believe how bad you are at picking games. Stop laughing at stuff like that, head. Jamie in Green Bay, quote, I left 100% of myself at the bottom of the ocean. Signed, Bison Dele. Okay. All right. Next person who references Bison Dele becomes the first person ever blocked by me. Don't try me, idiots. Don't try me. There's no place for this on that program. DB the Rocket Guy tweets. Now, I mean that. Next person with a Bison Dele reference gets blocked. Don't try me. I'm not kidding. Do you want to be off this show? I mean this. Chalk, look at me. If somebody does that and it gets on the air, they're blocked and you never ever let them through ever again. I mean this. I don't see everything on Twitter because how could I? But if I see it and it gets on the air, you're blocked. Do not try me. That's officially a moratorium on Bison Dele references. Rome, lay off my boy Taysom Hill. He looks like a great quarterback to me. Regards, Tim Tebow. That's fair.
Tebow.
DB the Rocket Guy tweets, I wonder how long it'll be before Brian Kelly is talking like he needs a throat lozenge.
But I'm always going to appreciate my time here. I have no regrets.
I'm telling you, when I get to this sound, you'll see exactly what I mean. My man got off that airplane with a thicker accent than Coach O. I understand why Coach O sounds like that. He's native. Speaks with native tongue. Brian Kelly got off that plane like he was the damn hick from French Lick himself. The Angry Bird tweets, we need Coach O to go to Boston College and spit out that masshole accent. That's pretty funny, actually. I mean, it'd be the same effect. Literally. It would be the same effect. I'm going to get to that. That's part of my thought on that. But that would be something like Coach O showing up at BC and starting to quote Pat Kaz. Wrong Rush 1 tweets. Dear Mr. Rome, I thought Brian Kelly's accent seemed very realistic. Signed, Drew Brees' lettuce. All right. You're making this more difficult than it needs to be. Also not okay. Personal appearance is not show fodder unless that personal appearance impacts performance. Hey, Rome. Oh, Nelly. Break out the fried okra and sweet potato pie. I sure as shooting am darn excited to be here, you rascals. Alabama won't know what tarnation hit him next season. Yeehaw! Signed, Coach Kelly, you varmints. Chad from Orlando. If you tracked this yesterday or you've got a Twitter app, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Twitter was all over it. And then this guy did this. I'm going to read this as it's written, or do my best to read this as it's written. It's written thusly. Quote, Fanth Mac, I am so excited for Marcus Freeman to assume coaching responsibilities as the head coach at South Bend. I seriously suspect he is suited for Sussex very soon. Signed, Coach Holtz. That's how he wrote it. I'm not deading. And by the way, Coach Holtz used to come on the show back in the day. Coach Holtz was at a speaking engagement, or any of you listening right now who were in attendance at that speaking engagement. What was the name of that thing? It was in Los Angeles in the 90s, and I was the host of it. It was a great time. And he was there. Phil Jackson was there. There were a number of really notable speakers who were there. Coach Holtz was an amazing motivational speaker back in the day. That's Nick and the Natty who wrote that like that and expected me to read it as such. This one says, how could you turn down a free drink with Jerry Jones? What's wrong with you? Signed, Rome ghosting Robert Plant. Mike in LFK wore the chicken man. I didn't actually ghost him. I politely declined. In fact, I didn't even politely decline. I just didn't accept the invite, which I will forever regret, which is why I said to Clarence, Clarence, you're a great journo, but how do you turn down a free drink? Clarence would say, I got to work. And I get that. I understand that. I'm just saying, as somebody who's been there before, Robert Plant invited me to attend a show and hang out with him backstage. And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm good. No, I'm good. There's a really important mid-season, midweek Toronto Blue Jays game that I have to watch on TV, Rob. I can't come. I forever will regret that. Now, regret gets you nothing. It gets you nowhere. Why beat yourself up over something you can't change? Except I punch myself in the face every single night over that. How did I say no to Robert Plant? But I did. Rome, you're right. Zeke did not look good last night. Jarrah should have called me when he had the chance. Regards, AP. You're like, I'm not going to lie. At one point, I was trading texts with James Kelly, talking about how bad his pick looked. And he said something about Ezekiel Elliott. I'm like, dude, is it me or is Zeke older than AP? He's not right. Zeke's not right. I mean, physically, you can tell he's not right. But because the way he was kind of gimping around, he looked to me like he was older than AP. Never mind that AP is like old enough to be Zeke's dad. But Zeke was running like he was older than AP. Although he did break off one good run late to spin clock. Hi, Jim. What's worse? TGIF or Friday? Bella B in Calgary.
I love when you talk hockey.
You know what the worst thing of all is, Bella? It's like, hey, how you doing? It's Monday. Yeah, I know. Tomorrow's Tuesday. Hey, how you doing? It's hump day. It's like you can see how people's moods kind of pick up. It starts off crappy, like, it's Monday. And then Tuesday is just kind of neutral. And then, hey, it's hump day. You're picking up. Thursday is like two more sleeps. It's Friday.
Today's Friday.
I'm not going to lie. I don't want to be a hypocrite, and I don't want to be disingenuous. I used to be that guy. And it wasn't over life. And it wasn't just a matter of living paycheck to paycheck. What it was me being an outside sales rep. And yes, I was that person then. I admit it. That thing that I'm really against right now, that whole one more sleep or it's Friday. I was that guy when I was getting my ass kicked on the daily trying to sell dictation equipment and phone systems. Man, I was definitely that guy. Oh, I was Fry-yay guy. Fry-yay was absolutely insane. It was so great. Best drug ever. Friday night, best thing ever. Saturday morning, still pretty damn good. It's Saturday. Saturday night, awesome. Then Sunday morning, the grip started to come back. Damn, it's Sunday. At least I got football. By Sunday afternoon, I'm gripping hard. By Sunday night, when that 60 minutes ticker started, full on, cold sweats, terror. I got to get up in the morning and cold call and prospect. So I hate to come down too hard on people who have that attitude because I once did have that attitude when I was a sales rep. Hey, Sales Rep Nation, I haven't called out to you in a long time. Mad respect. If you are somebody who has to cold call, prospect, generate business that way, mad respect. Mad props. Do you know why I come on the air at 9 o'clock every morning but come to the office at 5:30 every morning? Because I do not want to go back into outside sales. It was that terrifying, and I was that bad at it. That's why I've busted my ass for the last 30 years. I still have nightmares of rolling in without a sale. And my sales manager going, what'd you do today? What'd you get today, Rome? Nothing. As I hold on to this one tiny sale that I got 2 weeks earlier so I don't end the month with a big zero on the board. I know that life, yo.
Zero.
Fry-yay. All right, when we come back. Well, one quick one as we go to break. Even saltier Sarah is in. Remember, Boston accents were voted second sexiest in the U.S. War dishwashers.
War lady clone.
Who voted? Sarah? Can you document that? Or are you just saying that? Are you talking out your arse? And don't, hey, Chouds, don't at me and don't come for me. You know half my family is in Boston. My father was from Boston. My father went to BU. My father was from Brookline. Don't come at me. I've got family there. Some of my favorite cousins are in Boston. All right, we got to get out, right? Time for a sports update. Here you go. Here it is.
Live from Southern California. This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Albie, I need a better attitude from you, man. I need more than you're on.
It is Friday.
It is Friday. I know you. Okay. In your defense, it is Friday, which means you've got your Ionic week that was coming up.
Ionic.
But it's not like you haven't murdered that thing every week running for like 10 years. Friday also is an ATP day. You get to ask me a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. What you want to do is go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros and ask me a question there. I will answer one or more of them later on. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Top of the hour, Big Head Betts. Nate Oates coming up after that. All right, so it's been quite a week in college football. Why don't we get into this now? Brian Kelly broke up with his players at Notre Dame by text on Monday night. Then he came back and he had a super awkward, super short meeting with the same players that he abandoned the very next morning. Then this morning, Notre Dame introduced the players to their new head coach, former D coordinator Marcus Freeman. From the reaction, it's pretty clear that the players have already forgotten about that old dude that they used to play for, and they can't wait to get after it for the new young dude that they're about to play for.
So, what I'm going to do now, okay, because you're a brand new head football coach.
I mean, that sounds pretty awesome, but if you can see the video, it's tremendous. I have not seen a domer, a single domer or a team of domers or any of them that hyped for anything since the legend Troy Nicholas was getting hyped for everything.
Hey, I like to get hyped for games. Ready, get hyped and take my shirt off.
Maybe it's just me, but I'm not sure that I've ever seen a dude in a suit own a room the way Freeman just owned that room. That dude seemed like in complete and total control one step into that room. Like he had a complete and total buy-in the second he walked into that room. I mean, the buzz, the juice, the energy. Did they just introduce a head coach, or did they just win a national championship? Did they hate Brian Kelly that much, or do they love Marcus Freeman that much? Can it be both? I don't really know. I just know this. That was a hell of a scene. I can't wait to see this dude do some work in South Bend, because from the looks of things, his players cannot wait to get to work for him there. Which brings us back to the man of the hour. My man Brian Kelly had himself a week. As mentioned, it never goes well when a head coach decides to bounce, even if they're careful, even if they're smooth. Ask Lincoln Riley. Riley is about as smooth as they come, and even he caught some for leaving OU the way he did. And if it's going to stick to a guy who's as smooth as Riley, you know a guy who's not so smooth, Brian Kelly, is going to catch some. But I don't think he really cared about that. Kelly didn't care. He didn't care about that, nor did he care about what he left behind. He was on to more important matters, namely making a great first impression in Baton Rouge. So he did the typical thing. He shook some hands. Then he reached for the mic at the basketball game. You expect that. It happens all the time. What you don't expect is that guy to sound like this.
It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans, and to be part of what is going to be an incredible ride here at Louisiana State University.
The hell was that? Is he talking about family? Was that Brian Kelly, or as I mentioned, was that the hick from French Lick himself? I've interviewed Brian Kelly numerous times over the years, on this show, on my TV shows, any number of places. I don't ever remember him sounding like that before. Alvy, can you run that back again?
It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited.
Who are you here with?
To be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans, and to be part of what is going to be an incredible ride here at Louisiana State University.
Hey, listen, I understand that if you move to another part of the country, or you move out of the country, and you stay in that new place long enough, you might pick up some of the local dialect. Like, I went to high school with some kid here in Cali. He goes to college in Texas. A few years later, I met up with this guy, and he sounded straight redneck. And it blew me away. But it took him a few years to get like that. Kelly, though, gets off that airplane, steps onto the tarmac like he's rocking overalls, strumming a banjo, and blowing into a jug. The hell is this guy doing? Alvy, I need that one more time.
It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family.
Woo!
We are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans, and to be part of what is going to be an incredible ride here at Louisiana State University.
The hell is this guy thinking? The hell is this guy doing? He's from Boston. He has to know how terrible it sounds when somebody tries to fake an accent, because there are few accents more comical than somebody not from Boston trying one of those out, especially for a movie. The guy's coached in Michigan and Ohio and spent the last 12 years in northern Indiana. But he steps out of that airplane in Louisiana with a stronger accent than Ed Orgeron himself. Who the hell did you think you were going to fool with that, Brian? And why the hell would you even try it in the first place?
It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans.
And this dude's about to start talking about his days going down to the swimming hole by the creek and only coming home when his ma calls him. And then having to put out and do his laundry out on the porch in a wash tub. And don't even get this guy started. You see, I love him just blowing out a tune on that jug. And don't get this guy going on whether or not tomatoes are allowed in gumbo. And if you're fixing to add bay leaves and celery, he's going to hit you upside your head with a po' boy. I'm telling you, like, why? For who? For what? They know who they hired, dude. Who are you fooling with that? I've talked to this guy so many times over the years, I have never heard him sound like that. Nor did I even know that he owned a jug. Much less was willing to blow into it.
I'm here with my family.
I'm surprised he didn't walk out onto the floor in overalls and no shoes, rocking that jug. James Kelly, Big Head Betts, coming up next.